So we're thinking this morning about spiritual health and spiritual growth. Where are we? Where are we with regards to spiritual health and spiritual growth? We'll break it down into three areas. Break it into local, national, international. Local, national, international. International, nothing but good news. The gospel is growing. More and more people are glorifying God. More people are coming to repentance and faith in Jesus. Churches are being planted. People are being established. Gospel workers are going out throughout the world. There's a clear growth. Nationally, UK, part of Europe, Western Europe, clear decline. Continued decline in numbers, numerically and in terms of influence. And then locally, not unique to Donington, but sharp decline. Sharp decline numerically. A number of people are happy with that. A number of Christians are happy with that. They're happy for us to sort of manage decline in the hope that somehow there's going to be something's going to happen somewhere in the future. I personally am not. I don't think I've been called to that. I'm not sure you've been called to that. We're not obsessed with numbers, but neither are they nothing. We want more people to glorify God. Every Christian wants more people to glorify God. So when it comes down to it, how does God restore his work? Not start a work, but say a work that's gone downhill, that he has neglected for whatever reason, but now wishes to restore. Well, that's Ezekiel 37. Now, Ezekiel is a prophet to the exiles in Babylon, about 600, I think, BC, 600 years before the Lord Jesus. His message is one largely of judgment, explaining how they ended up where they've ended up in Babylon. And effectively what he says is, in the book of Ezekiel, is it's your own fault. You've lost sight of who God is and all that he's done. But he doesn't leave it there, because that's often the reputation of the prophets. They were just negative. They had nothing good to say. Actually, in the course of their judgments, nobody says anything more positive than the prophets. And so what he gives them is a message of hope. And he starts with a vision, and then he moves to a prophecy. Okay, so we're going to go through that together. We're going to look at the vision. We're going to look at the prophecy, and we're going to see how it might apply to us. Because I think it does. Okay, let's have some vision. Verse 1. The hand of the Lord was upon me. This is Ezekiel. And he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them. Okay, so he's there for a while. And I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley. Bones that were very dry, which means that they had been there for a while. Okay, so Ezekiel is literally yanked from where he has been before, and he's just plonked into a shocking situation. He's effectively on a battlefield where people have died and they're unburied. We look at battlefields now, 100 years from the First World War. We see nice, poppy fields and, greenery where people fought. No, that's not where he's gone. He's gone to a place where there are bones, and they are real bones. Now, I say real bones because I'm thinking about this. I haven't seen many real bones in my life outside of the British Museum. Not, I've seen dead bodies, but I've never seen many dead bones of people. And it must have been quite shocking. Because God doesn't just say, here you go, son, for a little while, but I'll take you up now quickly, and you've seen it now. Actually, he says, no, I want you to walk around this. And the people have died in battle, it appears, a long time ago. It's got to the point where their flesh has rotted away. All their bones have been exposed. And it's over a long period of time. And now it is completely dry. It's a killing field. Okay, if you remember the film, The Killing Field, where one of the climaxes is that the guy has to walk through a field of dead bones. This is where Ezekiel is. Verse 3. He asked me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" I said, "O sovereign Lord," okay, God who's in control, "you alone know." I don't know. I don't know. I haven't got a clue. Now, some people take this as Ezekiel's just ducking the question. But I think he's stunned. I think he's shocked. And I think he believes this is beyond me. So there's a limitation which he's prepared to recognize. I'm clueless. I haven't got a clue. There's a humility. But his limitation is with himself. It's not with God. Because he says, "You know." If anyone's got the answer to this, you've got the answer. Verse 4. Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord.'" Absolutely crazy. It's mad, isn't it? Yeah, you try doing that. Kensal Green Cemetery. Take a wander down there. And start, open your Bible and start telling everyone to come to life. It doesn't happen, does it? When someone's dead, they're dead. Only here, they're not. Verse 7. So I prophesied as I was commanded. He obeys. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise. A rattling sound. And the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Now, if that was a shock, this must have just blown his mind. He does something that most people would say is complete nonsense. Why are you speaking to the dead? He does it and the bones begin to come together. Okay, now, I don't know, the older folks might remember the old Jason and the Argonaut films and Sinbad. And one of the things they always had was what I call a bony army. People would rise up from the grave and these bones would take on swords and then they'd fight Jason or fight Sinbad or whatever. It's a bit like that, except flesh comes on them as well, and tendons come on them as well. It must have been extraordinary to see it. He must have been, again, quite fearful, but just couldn't believe his eyes. And what we're seeing here is a God who creates and recreates. A God of recreation. So he says in verse 5, "I will make my breath enter you and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come on your skin." So this is from God. This is from God. He's a God of recreation. He's able to revive and he's able to restore. And do you notice the reason he's doing it? At the end of verse 6, "Then you will know that I am the Lord." Our greatest need in 2022, greatest need, okay? So it's not clothing, it's not shelter, it's not great relationships, it's not doing well brilliantly at school, it's not keeping down that tremendous job, it's not avoiding COVID, it's not getting a nice holiday destination, it's not even that the Arsenal get into the top four. No, the greatest need we have is to know who God is. That's our greatest need. That is Israel's greatest need, to know who God is. Verse 8. says that the skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. That's a problem, isn't it? Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe into these slain, that they may live. So it's a two-part miracle that he shows him. Number one, you're going to speak the word, and the flesh is going to come on them. But part two, my spirit is going to go into those people, and they're going to live. And so verse 10, he says, I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered in them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast group of spectators. No, a vast army. It's part of a plan. It's part of service. That there's going to be, God's people are going to be not spectators, but an army. They're going to work and they're going to fight. And that is the picture. That's the vision that God gives. So the explanation comes in verse 11. And it says there, son of man, these bones are the house of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up, our hope is gone, and we are cut off. So they are a group, it's God's own people, and they have lost hope. They've lost hope in God doing anything for them again. Do you recognize ourselves in that? Do you recognize the church in the UK like that? Do you recognize the church in Europe like that? Yeah, our hope is gone. Our bones are dried up. We might as well manage failure. We might as well just give up. Verse 12, therefore prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. O my people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them, and I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from them. I will put my spirit in you and you will live. I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken and I have done it. Surrounded by idols in Babylon. And that's why they're there. They said, we want idols in Israel. And God says, your punishment then will be to have idols, but not in Israel, in Babylon. You're surrounded with loads and loads of gods, demanding your time, demanding your attention, demanding your loyalty. And he says, out of all that, the one true God will rise, and you will see it by what he does. What will he do? Two things. You're going to go back to your land, and you're going to have the Spirit. Did it happen? Okay, it's okay launching great promises, isn't it? But did it really happen? Well, they went back to the land. Within 80 years, they began to go back to the land. Now, it didn't all go well with them in the land, but they went back to the land. It happened. It really happened. Did they have the Spirit? Well, some of them had the Spirit. One or two men, as it Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, men of the Spirit. Actually, not everyone had the Spirit. And so the coming of the Spirit would be in the time of Pentecost. That is the great fulfillment. But this is only a partial fulfillment, for the final fulfillment of the raising of the dead will be with the resurrection of the dead. Now, what is this all going to do with us? Okay, some people will say, that's a great message. It's got nothing to do much with us. It was for the time. It was for the people. It was Ezekiel. It was them in Babylon. It's already been fulfilled. It's not our vision. It's not our prophecy. And I would say you're partly right, but you're pretty wrong. Because Romans 15, the Old Testament is for our encouragement. It's not just for the people of the time. It's for everyone who comes after. It will be for all our encouragements. That's number one. Number two, 1 Peter Revelation, we are in Babylon. We are in Babylon. You say, no, Andrew, we're in the UK, we're in London. No, we are in Babylon, spiritually. That's what's being taught. That's how to understand where you are. You are in Babylon. And then the book of Acts, Pentecost, what does it tell us? The young men shall prophesy. The old geezers like me, they'll prophesy. The women are going to prophesy. The servants, they're going to prophesy. What does that tell us? In one way, we're all prophets. We're all prophets. Our message is different from Ezekiel. Our methods may be different slightly from him, but we all will speak out God's words. We're all called to do it. It's a major part of our service. We have a similar job to him. So, why has this passage been preserved? Every passage that you read in the Bible has been deliberately preserved by God. Do you believe that? It has been deliberately retained by God. He has not allowed it to be destroyed because he wants to teach you something. He wants to teach us something. I think what he wants to teach us is, what he wants to show us is how he recovers a work. Who and what he uses. How is his work recovered? Through the Word and the Spirit. Through the Word and the Spirit coming through obedient children. The Word and the Spirit coming through obedient children. How is God going to change the decline in this country? Yeah, 100 years ago, end of the First World War, probably 40%, 45% UK people worshipping on a Sunday. Now down to 1, 2%. How is God going to recover a 100-year decline? How is God going to address the relative decline here? We've seen great things happen in 2021, haven't we? Lots of people have come here, come and gone, in and out all the time, even in a pandemic. But overall, we've declined numerically over decades. How are we going to recover? It is by the Word, and it's going to be by the Spirit. Nothing else. Through faithful people. So there's going to be a Word. And the Word is to the world, but first it's to his people and to one another. To understand something what's going on in Britain is we need to understand this spiritually. I believe you can say, Andrew, you're talking nonsense afterwards, but I'll tell you what I think. I think the major problem in Britain spiritually is us. We are the major problem. We moan about the government, about atheists, about secularists, we moan about LGBT, we moan about everybody. But let me ask you a question. Why in the scriptures does judgment always start with the house of God? Because whatever has gone wrong in a culture or a society always starts with the spiritual. They are part of the problem and often a major part. So we have to sort ourselves out before we start shouting the odds. But we can. We can. There's no reason why in 2022 we can't have more of the Word, more of the Spirit through obedient children. Why can't we do that? And what could happen as a result? All kinds of things could happen. So there's going to be a Word. The Word needs to be spoken to the world, but the Word needs to come to his people. We need to talk to one another. We need to talk to ourselves. Don't we? We need the Word flowing in our minds and in our hearts. Have you got some kind of plan to do that? Yeah, I've sent one or two plans out to you, but you might have your own. But have you got a plan where you are going to drink in the Word of God in 2022? Have you got some kind of plan? Are you going to put together something that's even going to take you through the New Testament, the Old Testament, or whatever? Have you got a plan? It's good to have one. So number one, you're going to have the word. And we're going to speak it to one another. We're going to encourage one another with that word. I'm going to send someone a text. You might send me a text. That's how people are going to read it and be encouraged by it. So there has to be the word. Number two is there has to be the Spirit. Now, mention the Holy Spirit and everyone has a sort of click. What does this mean? Some people, it means almost sort of nothing. Andrew, we need to just get on with the work. Other people, it means, yeah, I know what you're talking about. You're talking about speaking in tongues, and yeah, that's what you mean, isn't it? Not necessarily. Not necessarily. Because that's not the starting point, is it? So if you go back a chapter to Ezekiel 36, what does he say? He says, Ezekiel 36, God's speaking, and he says, verse 24, I will take you out of the nations. 36:24. I will take you out of the nations, I will gather you from all the countries and bring you back into your own land. I will sprinkle clean water on you and you'll be clean. Okay, you'll be cleansed. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. Yeah, and he carries on. You will live in the land I gave your forefathers. I will be your God. I'll save you from all uncleanness. I will call for the grain and make it plentiful. I'm going to meet your needs. I will increase the fruit of the trees. And so on. Now, what does that mean? Why do I need the Spirit? I need the Spirit because I've got a heart of stone. And it needs to become a heart of flesh. I need the Spirit to convict me. To work on my conscience. Yeah. So it's more than just particular gifts. Before the gifts, there has to be conviction. And it has to be that obedience. And it has to be that heart of flesh that is towards God. Let me put it another way. You can't do it in your own strength. I'm talking to myself. We can't do it. I can't do it. We can't do it in our own strength. That's why we need the Spirit. That's why we need the help of God Himself. And notice the final thing. It is through people that God does this work of recreation. Faithful, obedient people. Ezekiel is asked to do something, and although it's quite extraordinary, he does it. And something great happens. It's amazing. It's unbelievable. Because if you were God, would you bother with people to as your instruments? God could just as well have done it himself and says, Ezekiel, watch me do this. Bam, here goes there's the tendons, there's the bones. Hey, good. Part two, hey, look at that. Spirits in them, bang. He doesn't. He says, I will use people. Frail, weak people. Lacking in confidence, introvert people. No influence, nobody thinks much of me, people. People like us. So, what is the answer as we finish to this national and local decline? Number one, we've got to pray, haven't we? We've got to pray for a recovery of word and spirit among his people. Among his people. There's no point calling it, oh Lord, can you save the world? Hold on, the people, we're the problem. If the problem starts with us, no, the starting place is, Lord, may your word and spirit work on us. Then number two, we've got to go. Now we're going to go differently because we're in different circumstances, different situations, different gifting. But we're going to find a way to say something about the Lord. Even if I'm just going to give you a little leaflet. Give you a leaflet when I meet people. Or offer you to pray. That's a great way to start. But all the while I'm doing it, all the while I'm speaking, I'm going to be asking for the Spirit's help. I'm asking for the Spirit's help. Because without his help, nothing's going to happen. But with his help, all things are possible. And then I'm going to believe. I'm going to believe that God can grow his work and regrow his work locally and nationally. So what does this mean here for Donington? Well, look at it at three levels. All our teaching takes place on three levels. Number one, the big preach on Sunday. Number two, group Bible study. Number three, personal devotion or one-to-one. Now, preaching Sunday morning. What can you pray for whoever's standing here? That there would be a powerful word which would be blessed by your spirit. That's what you can pray for. That the spirit would work on people's minds and hearts. Bible study, Tuesday, Thursday. That the word and the spirit would work powerfully. We have a number of people coming in and out, some of whom not sure where they stand spiritually. God knows, but we need the Holy Spirit to be working in people's hearts and minds. That's another area of prayer. Personal devotion. Quiet times, which people call, that you have either in the morning or afternoon or evening, that time with the Lord. What do you pray? Lord, I just pray your word would get into my heart and that through your spirit, you would give me life. I think that's the way forward. And the great thing is, even if you're not going to be there for that meeting, you can pray for it. You can pray for it. So here is a way forward. It's got to be the word and it's got to be the spirit. From obedient children. May God help us as we seek to apply this.